Hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown and the Lord. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown and Lord of all. Let every tongue and every tribe respond to his call. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
Welcome again, everybody, to the Tag Your It podcast. We're here on a Tuesday evening like old times, aren't we?
That's right. Tuesday nights. We haven't done a show on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's been a while.
How long have you been working at Wedwood?
I mean, it was even before that, I think, that... I don't know.
No, I think we...
Did we did Tuesdays
we,
until... Oh, yeah, because I was off at the other place. So, six months, something around in there. It's getting close to that. But anyway, thank you so much for logging in. I'm Ray Ray, and this is...
Dave.
And this is the Tag Your It podcast. So I know I went on yesterday to kind of give an FYI since we weren't getting together yesterday. But anyway, I said that we would probably finish the year dealing with... the venues and continuing conversation about that, and then we picked up Leighton Flowers. But after I did that FYI video and some stuff I kind of saw flying around Facebook dealing with the local news and everything, we have an issue that we have to turn our face
do.
To.
And it's been well covered. And even though I was out of town on Monday and didn't get down to town until about 3, even then I heard about this discussion. If you've been in Springfield, you've heard a little bit of conversation about it. And that's one of the things that's key to what we try to do here at the Tag Your It podcast. We want to focus in on things that are relevant specifically to Springfield and apologetics issues related to Springfield. And we've got two big ones that were covered in the news later. So what is this big issue? It is a sermon that was delivered at one of the largest churches in the United States.
Yes.
None other than James River by Pastor John Lindell. And it was delivered on the Sunday evening before Halloween. So it's a little bit old, but that's sometimes how things go. It takes them a little while to percolate. So we're talking about something that happened about 2 weeks ago, a little more than 2 weeks ago, but it takes a little while for things to get going and for people to begin to talk about things. So what happens in this sermon? It's a really interesting sermon series. Essentially, what Brother Lindell does is he deals with some hyper-spiritual issues that have crept into the church. It's a really good construction of what's going on in evangelical spiritualism in a post-Christian America. What we see, according to a lot of research, is that Christians have a more favorable view of things that are non-scriptural spiritual issues, and it creeps its way in all kinds of forms. And that's what he begins to deal with in this sermon. And of course, the sermon series was really interesting. We're going to play a little bit from the sermon series here, but what he does at the beginning is he notes that, hey, in America, there is this massive interest in the spiritual. He begins by pointing out that there is the fastest growing religion or the fastest growing spiritual group in America is the Wiccans. He points out its pagan roots. He also unpacks the reality that the current form of Wiccanism didn't really show up until the 1960s. He then begins to talk about tarot cards and Ouija boards, and then about trying to summon the dead. And he says, hey, these are really evil spiritual things, and they're anti-Christian. And then he drops the hammer on.
Yeah, and he switches. And I mean, he does kind of make a distinction, like, you know, I'm going to talk about yoga. And I know that this is going to totally fly over your heads, like, okay, I'm talking about the paranormal. I'm talking about these kind of other things here that you wouldn't really match yoga with, and then he goes into talking about what yoga is, where its roots are, you know, and we find, you know, he talks about how it's Hinduism and all these kind of things. So, yeah.
The interesting thing is, he points out Wiccanism is bad. He points out that tarot cards are bad. He points out that trying to talk to the dead, that's a bad thing. Yes. These are evil things. None of that at all stirs anybody.
Yeah, but then it comes to yoga. This is the thing that there's also another article in the Newsleader that we can use sort of, you know, just the view outside of the church, outside of the sermon, and outside of the believers. So we're, you know, we can look at the Newsleader article that was also posted to kind of get the what they're seeing out there. So we also need to take account not just the congregation, but we need to take into account the city as well, and what they see from the outside looking in on these situations.
And it was a topical sermon. Mm-hmm. Brother Lindell is a very good communicator. He uses scripture effectively. These were things that are good, and I want to make sure that that's pointed out. We're not trying to criticize him. We are trying to point out what we believe is a failure, and which is something that could really confuse people. The title of the sermon was Haunted: Pursuing the Paranormal. And it says basically on the description of James River, in this message, lead pastor John Lindell shares a truth-packed sermon titled Haunted: Pursuing the Paranormal. Mm-hmm. He says pretty clearly in here what the paranormal is. He notes a lot of different scripture here. He lays out things that we know about Satan really, really good. An outstanding, in my mind, systematic approach of what we know about Satan.
Yeah.
And all of this is really, really good. Mm-hmm. But there's something missing. So let's go ahead and look at the video, and we're going to play it at 2.5 speed. We're going to kind of stop and go.
It's going to be really fast, and so we're starting. Okay, so he's talked a lot about yoga already, so we're kind of hitting at the very end where he's making his main, where he takes main issue, and so we're kind of going to listen to that, commentate on what he says here, and then bring some issues to light together. So here it is.
Listen, you cannot separate yoga from its Hindu roots.
Oh, you got you got sent.
Sorry. My bad.
You can't. So the big thing is, the point of what he's saying here is that you cannot separate yoga from its Hindu roots. Now, this needs to be defined, and he doesn't actually define it in his sermon. So, okay, you can't separate yoga. Does this mean the exercises with everything said and thought of, the whole package of yoga, you cannot separate from its Hindu roots? Is he saying that you can call it something else and do the exercises and then...
So there's a vagueness. It's really important.
So this is what really gets really confusing.
This is where there are two massive issues with this sermon that I think need to be pointed out. Two disconnects that really need to be called out. And we believe, number one, that there needs to be repentance as a result of this, and there needs to be clarification. And he makes it really clear. If you looked earlier, it was stated, I think you shared it on your post, this exact quotation: you cannot separate yoga from its Hindu roots.
I mean, I used a different quotation that we're getting ready to come up to. But
so in other words, one needs some clarification on what this means.
Yeah.
This isn't provided. And that's where the disconnect is.
So the only thing that I can tell you, if he says this and everything that comes before what he says here, that means that to me, as the audience, as somebody that is watching this, I go, the whole package is yoga, and you cannot separate the whole package.
So what is yoga?
Okay. And he's explained it. So
so what is yoga? Merriam-Webster online says this. Yoga is a system of physical postures, breathing techniques, and sometimes meditation derived from yoga, but often practiced independently, especially in Western cultures, to promote physical and emotional well-being. All right. He does define yoga.
Yeah.
That's going to be crucial.
Yeah, and so he does. I mean, earlier in this little part of the point, he does say that yoga has three things: breath control. I'm not going to go use their words because I don't want to say those because I'll mess them up. But anyways, breath control, positions, which he then shows that how they are of worship, especially in at least one distinction of yoga, which they are blatantly, it's a Hindu worship session. And I forgot which division of that. There was like seven of them.
Yeah. And he then lays those out.
And then meditation with a mantra where you say, how there's words used to where they actually are using Hindu names of gods in their repetitive sayings and all this kind of stuff. And so like, so he defines what yoga is, that it is the use of positions. You have breath control and you are meditating on something.
So it's really key to me. And what happens, and we'll actually kind of show some of this, he's going to demonstrate some of the positions, but the key thing that he's focusing on is basically three things. He's focusing on, it's a stretching thing, it's a positioning thing, it's a mind thing.
Yeah. And they all have, they're all related to pagan worship.
That's exactly what's being
said. So basically, again, this quote, what he's saying is
you can't separate.
Divorce it. So that means the whole package of yoga is the whole package of yoga.
Yes.
And it's bad and it's wrong and it's not Christian, okay? So just to put that all in perspective, because there's a lot more that he said before this.
Dr. Douglas Gruffus, professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary, said, "I don't think Christian yoga works. It's an oxymoron. If it's truly Christian, it can't be yoga. All forms of yoga involve occult assumptions."
All pause it there. Which is so, according to Grutheis, all forms of yoga involve an occult assumption.
Okay.
All forms of yoga.
Okay.
All forms.
All.
That's key.
Forms.
Sorry.
To that end, Christians should stay away from yoga because of its demonic roots. You say, well, what's yoga? Beginner yoga, hot yoga, yin yoga, restorative yoga, chair yoga, upside down yoga, yoga. I mean, yoga. Participating in it at any level is potentiating the opening up of your life, your home, your situation to the demonic.
And this is the quote that I used on my Facebook post that, you know, I'm nobody, so it doesn't generate so much heat, but I did.
They're not going to care what
you
say.
I got some good
conversation. We realize that. You know what?
Yeah.
John Lindell's not going to pay attention to us. Most people aren't going to pay attention to us.
Yeah.
If we get half the response that we got from Brother Wright, great. Here's what we're saying. You need to be consistent, Brother Lindell. If this is true, if you truly abhor this thing, then we press you. Truth is revealed through consistency. So what we're saying, as the pastor of one of the biggest churches in the United States, the biggest Assembly of God church in the United States, you have a standard that you need to meet. I hold myself to the same standard. You need to recognize that if you believe that all forms of yoga is evil, then you better not let yoga into your church.
Because then that would be putting yourself, your church, and everybody that enters the doors of James River, you're opening up the door to the demonic into your church.
That's exactly.
And so here is the thing. You have a thing called body flow. No, it's not called yoga. This isn't body flow yoga. This is just body flow. And it says on their website, it's using a carefully structured series of stretches, moves, and poses to Christian music. The class focuses on enhancing flexibility and developing core strength. So here was my contention in the post. If you change the words, is it just the change of words? This is where I'm talking about. You've demonstrated that you believe that the whole package of yoga cannot be divorced from its demonic roots. Yet you are offering a class that uses poses and stretches, sounds like yoga to me, to Christian music. So is that your meditation? But still, the thing is, you've said the whole package of yoga, again, has its roots in the demonic, and that doing it at any level, you didn't define and give exception. Any
level.
All yoga. And what is yoga by another name? Body flow. And you have let it in your church. Now, I will give latitude because John Lindell had said in the sermon as well that he had changed within the week of the study before he gave the sermon. And so basically from the beginning of the week to his sermon, his ideas and his feelings had changed to where it was even worse than what it was when he started. So I will give latitude going, okay, so maybe you were repenting of having a sanitized view in our Western culture of these things. So what needs to happen now is you need to show Springfield that you can get rid of body flow at your church.
So be this consistent is really with your important. Message. If you go to the James River website and you look up the haunted pursuing the paranormal, Brother Lindell lays out his main points. And his fifth point is yoga. And he says what? Number one, breath control. He defines it as breath control, in which you trap into some direct energy flow. He defines it as body positions. Every position has a meaning. Therefore, they better not adopt one of the positions that he demonstrates or shows.
But then again, it doesn't matter. If you change the words, if you change the position, what are you doing? You're still doing something that is based in the demonic. Like he has cut himself off of anything.
Yes, agreed.
So again, there's only two possibilities that can happen. You have to change your message, or you have to show consistency. And that consistency now is going to have to spread to Taekwondo, which you offer at James River, because that has pagan roots in Eastern religion, in pantheism, in polytheism, and all that stuff.
Yes.
Also, the Christmas trees has got to go. The Yule logs, if you use that, has got to go. Eggs, the egg drop that you guys do, got to go.
Exactly. Bunnies,
got to go.
And let's quote your words to you. Actually, the scripture, Brother Lindell, that you use, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 15, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and the devil? Look, we believe that you are right for calling this out.
Yes.
But you're not right in practice because you still aren't changing it.
Yes.
So repent of what that is. Repent of the egg drop. Repent of it. Mm-hmm. It's wrong. Be consistent.
And any sort of Christmas tree you have in your church at Christmas time. And that's coming up.
Ah. I bet there's inconsistency. You want to see why people reject Christianity? Because of this type of inconsistent behavior.
And it is now, one of those things.
We're not splitting hairs. We're asking you to be true to what you said. You, at the end of this, there was this great line. There's this amazing line that Brother Lindell has at the end of this, where he talks about, I have a responsibility as a shepherd. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Just have another time out, John. Time. We chant Jesus. Demons don't care what you chant, as long as you open the door.
So Christian music during body flow.
To them. They don't care if you're at peace, harmony, have energy, or are in great shape, as long as you give them access to your life. People say, but my yoga is Christian yoga and doesn't have anything to do with yoga.
Body flow.
Then my question is, why would you call it yoga?
Okay, so is this where you're going? Okay, is this statement kind of where you're like, well, why would you call it yoga? So we'll call it body flow or something else. So does the name change? So instead of saying S-U-N salutation, we say S-O-N salutation. Does that make it okay? Is it words? Are you a word of faith guy where words have meaning? Like we're going to go from mysticism to mysticism. I don't know. I mean, this would open up even more doors than what you're thinking about, because this could open doors to Christian mysticism.
Now, real quick, you might be thinking right now, well, wait a second, Dave and Adam, you guys are going a little crazy here. You probably have Christmas trees at your churches. We do.
I don't.
We do have one. We will have one. Guess what?
We're going to get there.
We're not going to have an Easter egg hunt at my church, but we have in the past. But there's a disconnect, and this is what happens when you preach legalism.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I close with this. 2 Corinthians. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What's the answer? Nothing. Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? It can't. What harmony is there between Christ and the devil? There is none.
Then act like that.
Exactly. And I mean, we totally hold to no neutrality. There is no neutrality.
That's right.
When it comes to the world, the flesh, and those who are in the spirit. There is no neutrality.
That's right.
We totally agree, but we also agree that there is a principle and practice issue.
That must
be maintained. And understand, and this is the thing, is in my post, I made sure to clarify myself in the comments saying that I'm not questioning the salvation of the leadership of James River or its congregants.
Yes.
I'm pointing out an inconsistency, and I would, you know, it's one of those things that I believe the public, since it's this sermon is available on the internet across the globe, this is a big congregation in America. It's not just, say, the biggest in Missouri. This is a mega church that is known
and
across
multi,
the world.
Multi-site church.
Yeah.
Multi-site
so
church.
It needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be talked about. So, you know, there's somebody saying, well, you know, it's such a big church and John Little can't be involved in everything. Well, the thing is, that's the problem. It is a big church. He can't. But there's a problem in that. But he should know, at the very minimum, that there is body flow
going on in his church.
And he should be mentioning it in the sermon. This would have been a great time to go, you know what? We have done wrong.
Or,
and as
to
a church,
say,
he could call the church to repentance.
Here is where Christian liberty comes in.
Or the gospel that somehow did not make any entrance into any bit of this sermon.
Jesus Christ as the God-man who entered into creation to redeem a people never shows up in this sermon.
And here's where theology
matters.
Matters at all times. Because what do we really know from Scripture? That God is the giver of all gifts.
Yes.
That everything rains down from the Father. And guess what we have? We have brains. We have brains that we have that he's given us, that we think his thoughts after him, that we can use these things to be good stewards of our bodies by chance, right? And the cool thing is because Christ, we are free.
That's right.
Now, is the roots of this gift in paganism? No.
That's
the roots
right.
are blessings from God of the means to be able to take care of ourselves and our pain and our suffering in this life.
Yes.
Okay. So what has happened? Well, your theology would have to inform you that mankind has twisted every good gift from God. And so instead of saying that these roots are pagan, no, the roots were in God and man has screwed it up. So do you have it within your theology, the total depravity of man, that we screw everything up? That we see everything out in creation shouting the glory of God and we believed a lie instead, and that we are inventors of evil. And then we can get to the gospel out of that and go, you know what? But we know the truth. We know that, say, Paul was talking about the meat that was offered to idols and that there was nothing wrong with the meat and that we could actually eat it, even if it was offered to idols. You're saying that they couldn't do that. But Paul said they could.
Why? Why did you leave that out? When you do, when you leave out the fullness of the gospel and you fail to mention the freedom in Christ, you miss the point. And all you have is a legalistic diatribe that might have got some great applause, but didn't point anyone closer to the freedom and the forgiveness and sin that they have in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And so now we can come to the article. Now people are leaving yoga classes, which I'm going to tell you right now, if you are involved in a yoga class that is a worshipful to a Hindu god yoga class, then yeah, you don't need to have anything to do with that because you shouldn't be worshiping. This is where darkness and light don't meet.
Yes.
But the body flow class at James River, I'm sure that would be awesome. And so we're actually not telling you to shut down body flow. We're actually telling you to change your message to actually include the gospel.
There you go.
Because the gospel, you know, the sheep came down to Peter, all food's clean, right? They've been clean for eternity anyway. They were only unclean within the nation of Israel. But then we have to understand the threefold thing of the law. And I mean, and I understand there's a lot in this, but
yeah,
the thing is
right
purely legalism, purely legalism.
And here's the other issue. If you watch the whole sermon, which both of us have, there's never given the hope and freedom that is in Jesus Christ. There's never given that God has given individuals an ability to discern what is true and righteous and what can be claimed for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a point where he says, and maybe you've been caught in the sin of Wiccan. Maybe you've been caught in a fascination with the paranormal. maybe you recognize that you've been a victim of worshiping these evil gods. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you that Jesus Christ can save you.
Mm-hmm. And so,
and as many good things as happened in this, we're amiss if we don't point out why this is legalistic, why this is wrong, why he's inconsistent, and what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. And so this is a shepherd of souls.
Yeah.
I'm not a elder or a pastor or anything like that, but I'm also a fellow Christian, which is also responsible for the rest of the body.
That's right.
So here we are. Please reconsider your message.
If you know John Lindell, if you know someone who goes to that church, you need to tag them. You need to send this to them because this needs to be addressed because Christians need to be consistent. Do you want to continue on through? I think we've got a little bit of time left.
We're at 47:02. Yeah. It goes to 52 minutes.
Okay.
In the message, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is talking about being careful about the demonic influence that comes by association with things that are clearly demonic. In that case, meat offered to idols. And here's what he says. I don't want you to become a part of something that...
But he could have totally used that to go, wait, Paul talked again about meat offered to idols and how there's nothing in it. We worship the same Lord, the same Spirit, the same Father, and that stuff isn't really real. Now, Paul does talk about laying down our rights to that for the sake of a brother.
That's right.
Totally get it. But there's nothing in it. So can we divorce yoga from its pagan roots, which are not pagan roots? They're a twisting of the root, which is a glorious gift of God. And so that's when we recognize, that's when we thank God for it. That's whenever we can do these awesome stretches that help our bodies, because God has given us a mind to be able. And so we can sit here and just thank God, because what happened in Romans 1:18 through 34? They refused to give glory and thanks to God. And we get to do that because Jesus Christ, again, something that was not ever mentioned in this sermon. No.
Reduces you to less than yourself. Can I just say to you that as a pastor, that's my concern? I wouldn't want anybody to participate in something that unknowingly causes them to be less than they could have been in Christ, to be less, to have less than the fullest possible life they could have.
But how?
And you can't have it both ways, banqueting with the master one day and slumming with demons the next. Besides, the master won't put up with it. He wants us all or nothing. Do you think you can get off?
He wants us all or nothing. Less? Right there. Again, opportunity to put the gospel forward. He wants us all or nothing. But guess what? We're fallen and we're living in a sin-drenched world. And guess what? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, if you repent and believe, God will forgive you of the things that you've done. And guess what? He can claim victory over all these things. And guess what?
If you live in freedom,
you get to claim things for Christ and know that your life is right.
And so, I mean, it sounds very piddly, but because of the freedom in Christ, you can do yoga. I mean, you can call it body flow. You can call it my morning exercises, whatever. You don't have to relate it. And I mean, I think there is a smartness to distancing yourself from using language. I mean, for the witness factor, because people would be asking you what it is, and they'd give you an open, ice-breaking opportunity to share the gospel. But anyway, I mean, I do get that we do need to distance ourselves. Sometimes it does take language to do that. But then again, he's not saying, hey, but Christian, you can do these things. You can use these things as means in your life.
Interesting. But, I like this. Will Hoffman is Pete private messaged me. Hope you don't mind, Will. Awesome idea here. He does DDP yoga, which was started to take out all of the false religions. Very interesting idea. So what I would say is, yes, you can do that. Why? Because God is the one who's given us bodies that we are responsible for. And all of those stretches originated with God. And guess what? If you are free in Christ Jesus and your motive is to honor the temple of God that he has given you in your body, then why would you even feel in any way, like what you're doing is wrong? See, guess what? The YMCA operates in the building that is owned by my church. And guess what? They do yoga. But guess what? I know it's a Christian who does it. And guess what? I don't care if they call it yoga. And guess what? If they're a Christian, they don't have to worry about any evil powers overtaking them either. And guess what? we can recognize that we are free because Christ set us free indeed.
Yeah. And then just another caveat, you know, if you have a person that you're friends with that you're leading to Christ and say they come to Christ, I wouldn't take them to a yoga class at the
beginning. No, I wouldn't either.
You know, that this is where you don't let your brother stumble and you lay down your rights.
Especially if there's someone who's been coming out of Hinduism. Yeah.
So, you know, it's not a good. It's not good. And it's prescribed in Scripture and it's described in Scripture as something that we need to be careful of. But the cool thing about that is that person will grow in Christ and be able to do yoga.
Yeah.
To the glory of God.
That's right.
Amen.
To the glory of God.
Yeah, do we want to move on? Or I mean, we've hit all the major points.
Yeah, that's good. Then let's roll to the next one. So, also from the news leader, Adam, I'll let you, man, you do this better than I do. Give us a background on this.
All right. Article. Well, yeah, so another thing in the news leader, and this is if anybody is friends with me on Facebook, they see sometimes tons of blocks of text all the time. At least I know it's been described anyway. From a buddy of mine that I went to high school with anyway, but he has written a few times for the news leader before on different issues. One of the major ones was his admitting his godlessness. I'm just paraphrasing the tag, but, you know, just talking about his atheism and his experience in Springfield being an atheist. But also recently, and I'm not sure when that came out, and was published in the news leader, but it's a recent article that I saw you posted today, which would be something that we thought we would tackle tonight. But anyway, he's talking.
It was on the 9th. It was published on the 9th. So the Sunday paper, is that right? Yeah. No, that'd be Friday's paper.
But anyway, he had published an article talking about the whole refugee issue at our borders, and he is begging for a definition of Christianity. He's looking for something that the Christians would do because he's seeing a lot of evangelicals not do the right thing. He's definitely democratic. You know, so he's from the liberal side of things. He's an atheist. And I mean, we can look into his article and learn a lot of things and we can see what he's crying out for, but there are some inconsistencies on his part.
Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to work through the article. I put a link to it on the live feed and you're welcome to look along with it. And I'm just going to kind of read and you stop me and we'll converse as we deal with it. I think you've laid out. The name of the article is, of course, Christians, Meet the Caravan. There is a caravan of people walking to our border. They are seeking asylum in the USA, and for the mere chance to have it, they will break their bodies on this long journey. These people are not an invasion of the diseased or a plot to tailgate hidden Islamists into the USA. How should we meet such people when they arrive at our gates? One approach is to send our military forces to the border to train their weapons on these tired folks. 86% of white evangelicals believe that the USA has no responsibility to accept refugees. Christian leaders with huge platforms like Pat Robertson are promoting terrible lies about them being part of some liberal conspiracy, often with an anti-Semitic tinge. That's where I want to stop. So what we can see very clearly, and again, I want to make sure I'm using his first name correctly. Yizo is who you call him online. That's not what he's going by here.
We'll just call him Seiji.
Seiji. Yes. Seiji is essentially saying, hey, look, there are all these people that are coming to the border and Christians are speaking out against them. White evangelicals, 68% are saying we shouldn't let them in. First of all, first and foremost, I want to say this. The United States has no reason to let them in. The United States is a sovereign entity, first of all. That's really something that needs to be recognized. But Christians do have a call to care for the poor, and Christians are put in a diametrically opposed position because we also have a responsibility to what? Romans chapter 13, obey the laws of the land.
Yeah. And so basically what you're asking for is Christians to do what the government should be doing, but yet you, at the same time, you don't want Christians in the government. I mean, so this is this comes from a long time of me and him babbling on Facebook over a lot of things. I've collected a lot of things that he said, and I have showed him time and time again where he's inconsistent, even though he doesn't want to see it, and you might not see where I am pointing out his inconsistencies. All that aside here, what he's asking Christians to do is to do governmental things, yet at the same time, he doesn't want Christians in the government. We have too much representation, and, you know, so...
But then
so
I also want to point out this. This is something tautology. That is very, very important. He says 68% of white evangelicals. I would tell you, first of all, what is your definition of white evangelicals? What is a conscious definition of white evangelicals? Here's what I would say to you. Orthodox Christian is a better word. We need to be careful with these words, liberal theology or evangelical theology. We should need to start using the word Orthodox Christianity, historical Orthodox Christianity. What is historical Orthodox Christianity? How about people who would actually care about historical Orthodox Christianity? Guess who the people are that started orphanages? Mm-hmm. Guess who the people are that have some of the largest feeding of the poor organizations? What are some of the people and organizations rooted in that are the greatest individuals who distribute not only food, but also do everything they can to protect the poor and to protect individuals who are in need medically all over the world? Oh, those are Orthodox Christians.
Yeah, and just again, just to reiterate the recent history with the hurricanes, we Baptists as SBC disaster relief teams were there before, way before FEMA, before your government, and long after the government left.
And here's what I would say.
To care for those people.
This is what's really important. Again. The atheist will always live in this completely twisted universe where they're going to call, see, Christian, act like a Christian. Christian, act like a Christian. Oh, but you can't define what Christianity is.
Exactly.
Oh, but here's the other issue. According to his worldview, why does it even matter?
Yeah.
What are these people? And that's where you see, as someone who recognizes God's unique design and the image of God in each person, he's crying out because he's...
So here's, to skip down a paragraph, it says, I am an atheist, but I want to be friends with these Christians. I want these Christians to define the religion. This is hard. You don't want a defined Christianity. It does not exist in your universe. You have told me so. The writings are not legit.
Yes.
They're full of contradictions, but you're crying out for it. I do not know what you want, Seichi. That's the thing. You are inconsistent. It's pointed out to you. You fly over your sin because you don't like that word, so I'll put it in quotes for you.
Seichi, pretty simple.
The thing is you're begging for a definition. Somebody tries to give you one, but then you say that can't be.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Basically, you want
the goalpost.
You want a Christian to define Christianity the way that you want to define it.
So in other words, the atheist defines what Christianity is because the Christian can't define it. Therefore, you can always move the goal. And this is a trick of multiple atheists. You can always move the goal, always move the goal, always move the goal. Oh, you Christians don't agree. Oh, wait, yes, we do agree. I can show you historically throughout Orthodoxy how we do agree on the primary doctrines of the Christian faith. I've been published on it. I can show you it. I've looked at church history. Oh, but no, that's not true because not all Christians agree. Every time a Christian defines, the atheist says, no, you can't define.
Yeah.
But what does it even matter? Because he doesn't even have a foundation by which to even care about these people.
Yeah.
Because according to his worldview, again, they're highly evolved pond scum.
Yeah, and so he goes on and says, it's so hard to feel safe with Christianity. It's so hard for me to trust the religion because the people who define the religion so often lend their efforts to demonizing people like me.
You're right. You know what? I'll demonize you. According to scripture, according to God who spoke, you're dead in sin.
Mm-hmm.
You hate him. Oh, you recognize that you hate him.
But the thing is you're going to say that what he just said is wrong and hateful. That demands a standard. I have constantly asked you to provide the basis, the rational basis for a universal, absolute, invariant standard by which to make these sort of claims. You can't, and you have admitted it. It's all subjective and relative, and you can call yourself a realist all you want. You have ideals. You're an idealist. You're straight from Plato.
Yeah.
But you have deluded yourself even more deluded than Plato himself to thinking that something is real. But the thing is, you've provided no basis.
But
you're calling this universally hatred, no matter where you live in the whole universe. It's invariant, so it does not change, and it's absolutely true, right? So you don't have the basis to actually call say Christians are doing anything wrong.
I'd break bread with Christians who saw humanity in all. We do. Here's the issue. We don't have to subjectively choose humanity. We have a standard by which we recognize that all human life has value because all human life has the image of the triune God imprinted on it. You can't say that.
And we have signed a statement, which you also do not like, and you've told me, that actually recognizes the fact that the use of race language is bad, that we are all one human race because we all possess the Imago Dei.
That's right.
So who is actually not segregating things? You're the one that's actually using this intersectionality approach, which actually splits people apart, puts them in categories of oppression, and then lets them duke it out to see who's got the most authoritative thought.
You know, here's the other interesting thing. You're going to say, right here, look, in that sentence right there, because the people who define religion so often lend their efforts to demonizing people like me, people like those tired masses slowly walking to our country.
You are not. You, even according to intersectionality, you are nothing compared to these people that are walking. You cannot talk for them.
There you go.
Who is a Japanese person living in Washington, D.C., working for the government? And who's the white boy behind the barber chair? But you cannot speak for these people that are walking because they're more oppressed than you.
That's right.
So you're even inconsistent with what's going on in academia right now.
They're coming from Honduras, right? Majority of these folks are coming from Honduras. How about the millions of dollars in relief aid that evangelical Christians have poured into South America?
Mm-hmm.
And we demonize these people? Recognizing that there are laws that should be abided by is an important thing. But here's the other thing. I don't hear any major denomination saying, let's point guns at them.
Yeah.
And even if they do, I can objectively tell you why that is wrong.
Yeah, and it's one of those things.
You can't.
Yeah, and the thing is what you're doing is, are you grabbing your definition of Christian from President Trump? He's the one that has the executive orders to be able to do anything like that. And so you're actually just mad at Trump. And you're equivocating Trump with Christianity. And I'm here to tell you right now, from what I have heard, I do not believe he is a Christian.
Yeah, and you can...
I don't care how many Bibles you swear on, but then again, that puts you in a position to actually go into the text and actually do your homework, like I've said.
And recognize that
hey, wait a second, this guy isn't. Wait, he has a... And this is going to tick a lot of people off. He has a woman spiritual leader above him, but says he's a Presbyterian. That is a no-no, a no-go in actual Orthodox Presbyterian belief.
But here's the other thing. So, let's jump back to the article.
Yeah.
Speaking of evangelicals, he says, they would see my humanity and that of my ancestors. My own Japanese great-grandfather at age 15, crossing the Great Pacific Ocean, walked up from Peru to the United States at the dawn of the 20th century. When I hear the cruel comments directed at the caravan, it feels personal because it was once my family. No, your family. Yes, guess what? I'm thankful that you had a grandfather who recognized probably the religious freedom and the opportunities granted because of values based upon the idea that we were image bearers of the Creator God, wanted to come to the United States, so he did.
And he did what? He followed the rules of the land by immigrating. And here's the word. And this is something that I think James White also brought to light very well, is we've taken words because postmodern times doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
And so we just take words and we redefine them for political purposes. The thing is, there's a difference. There's immigrant and there's illegal. Okay? An immigrant is a person who has followed the law of the land and has naturalized into the country. Totally fine. Now, these refugees, they're seeking refuge. I understand the system is horrible, but it's the only system we have, and until we can actually talk about reform...
No one is downplaying the fact that there is evil that they are fleeing. Do not think that that is not what we are recognizing. But what we're recognizing is evil is breaking the law. And breaking the law is evil according to any objective standard. Mm-hmm. Now, the other issue and the thing that I think is exceptionally evil is here you are from a privileged position saying that you can identify with them and you're in that exact same spot. That is evil. Mm-hmm. Sir, you can write a newspaper article and have it published and you're complaining and acting like you can, you're one of them. No, wrong.
You're on our side of the fence. And so, yeah, you take it personal, I understand.
But you have no standard by which to appeal to say that we should even do anything except I want, I feel, I, me, me, me.
And so the actual Christian thing for us to do, Yizo, or I don't know what to call you. Anyway, Seichi, the thing is whenever you ask a Christian to do what Christians do, you know what we do? We send missionaries. We plant churches. We don't live
in hospitals.
Yeah, we don't. The thing is we are called to not to walk, to not owe anybody anything. We are designed to go preach the gospel, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to teach them the commands of Christ and to obey the commands of Christ and to make disciples. We build churches. And the thing is we build a church that can live in no matter what situation that they're in. So what we need to do actually is to find these refugees and go, you don't need to come to America. You can build a church around Jesus Christ and live in this world because we're not called out of the world. We're not called out of evil. But we are called to love one another and take care of each other until Christ comes back. So if you want, but you're not going to like that.
This is so key. You've got to go back to this article. You cannot miss this line. I spend a great deal of my own effort trying to shame those Christians who practice cruelty, and I'm exhausted. I don't think I have the voice that can breach their defense. Guess what? If you can't define Christianity, which you've already conceded time and time again, then who in the world are you to shame those Christians? What are you going to do? Accuse them of acting inconsistent with your standard that you say doesn't exist? Therefore, you're walking in a walking oxymoron.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is your world. This is the world view.
And it unfolds, and you don't know why it's so angering to you. Well, we do. Why do you dislike contradiction? Why do you actually know that there's a standard and give evidence to the fact that there's a standard? Because you can't escape it. Because you have a mind that works, that's not just brain gas. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Adam. I'm going to try to... It's like...
Yeah, but you know, it's one of those things you have become the fool because... Other people have shamed people, and you're utilizing the same shame to against them. So you have argued like the fool and become just like them. This is, again, a principle from Scripture, of the wisdom literature, from the Proverbs, that I can sit back and go, because God's revelation informs what I do. And so why are you tired? Because you need Jesus Christ. Because then you would have God's revelation. You would know that everybody's made in the Imago Dei. And then instead of relying on the government, you would rely on your Creator and His Savior to know what to do with these refugees. And you would probably be pretty darn awesome at it because I know your heart. The thing here is you are deluding yourself.
You're exceptionally ignorant with what you state here at the end in this last little bit. You state, I need these loving Christians to define the religion because Christianity isn't going anywhere. Sir, I'm sorry. That is exceptionally ignorant. You should be ashamed of yourself that you have such a low understanding of theology. The news leader should be ashamed that they've allowed someone with such a baseless view of theology to write an article critiquing Christians because he doesn't even say that Christians have an ability to define. If you don't believe that Christianity is defined, sir, how exceptional... Goodness sakes, there are boatloads of systematic theology texts. There are boatloads of historic Christianity pieces written. That is just straight up ignorant. Mm-hmm. And don't act like you're so smart when it's already out there. Sorry, it's just crazy.
Yeah. But it's one of those things that, you know, the basic thing comes down to, you know, just my interactions with this issue is that, you know, these are just... random texts, they contradict each other. Christianity cannot be solved. I can't have the truth. Nobody can have the truth in on this matter. So he's asking for something he already knows a priori that can't happen. And so is this a sincere opinion piece, or is this just a joke? Just fodder to make yourself and to use what you use against me all the time, to pat yourself on the back.
Yeah.
Again, don't be the fool and become like the fool if you think I'm the fool.
Dude, so there it is. Man, we just nailed two Springfield issues.
Please, and we still have one on the moon.
Oh, man. By the way, big thanks to everyone who came to ApolloCon. That was awesome. We're already trying to put some more things together to make this an annual event. Be praying about that. We've had some interesting discussions and some different interesting offers. If you do get a chance and you would like a copy of Show Me Why, we'd be more than happy to get you a copy of that. Dun, dun, dun. We are excited to share that with you. We are likewise excited to point you to other book.
We got book number two that if you were at ApolloCon, you had a chance. And the cool thing is you've seen this book already, Invasion of the Word Snatchers by David Guy Van Bever Jr., this guy over here. But now we have number two. This is, it doesn't say revised or anything, but Dave wanted to put this out, so he put some fuel changes and stuff like that. So it's not a revision or anything, but it is the same book. But he gave me the awesome opportunity to write a foreword, so I have two things that are published that I get to be a part of, and it's just, I mean, this is just providence and going along for the ride and God's plan for my life and glorifying Him. But anyway, we have the new Invasion of the Word Snatchers and Show Me Why. So if you guys want these, let us know by email, over Facebook, personally, whatever. We've got them in stock here. So anyway, that's awesome. But yeah.
And here's the other thing. We want to let you know, we're kind of coming to the end little bit of the year. We've probably got three more shows left to the end of the year. Please be praying for us. Our last show of the year will probably be our show we do with Sam Waldron on December 3rd. We're going to talk the 1689 London Baptist Confession. Bam. We're really looking forward to that. Really looking forward to that. Then we will have about a 3-week or possibly a month hiatus where we're going to go and we're doing some writing and some planning for the next year. And we are just hoping that God will do some good things through what is ahead.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mentioned this in the FYI yesterday that, I mean, there's some really cool things that have been discussed post-ApolloCon. So again, we're going to keep that going next year. So right now, start praying over that.
Please.
We want to provide... There's some other people we have in our mind that we want to be there.
Yes.
It's going to even... I think we can make next year... I mean, this year was just amazing.
Yeah.
How smoothly it ran.
I want a big thank you. Awesome. You know, this is something that I need to make sure. Big thank you to MoCrete, because they did some amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. They took some quotations and they put them on plaques, and we're hoping to get those on the website so that people can have a opportunity to grab them. We'd really like for you to be able to do that. And guess what? They still have a few of these available.
Yeah.
This was something that was pretty cool that we were really excited to be able to
have. Whenever I showed up, I didn't know what they were doing. And then I saw this stuff, you know, with some other... So they had some other wooden quotes and stuff like that. But yeah, they made this specifically for ApolloCon. It was really awesome. I got one. I know a few of us got one. But yeah, that was really awesome to see that they took time to do what they did.
Yeah, it was awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Big thank you to Wellsville Christian Academy, too, for the t-shirts. That was really cool. Big thank you to mychurchwebsite.net. A big thank you to Emmanuel Baptist Church, to Kyle Insurance, to the Missouri Baptist Disaster Relief, to Victory Mission, to Freeway Ministries. There were a lot of great ministries that showed up. Ethnos 360. I know I've missed a few people, but this was really important stuff, and we were really glad to have them there, and we're just looking forward to what we have in the future. Big thank you to Rob. Big thank you to Dr. Roberts, Jonathan Hayashi, to Tim Carter, to Will Hoffman, to Kyle Kirby, and of course, to Adam Cochran.
And Mr. Butterworth.
That's right.
Come on, you can't forget that guy. Right. He's English. He sounds smart.
And John Shirk. We were glad they were all there. Yeah, so John Shirk, thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
Please, we just want to encourage everyone. Thank you for praying. If you see our page and you say a brief prayer, God bless Tigerette Ministries. Man, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Because we want to be able to put out a good product for individuals. We want to have time to prepare. We want to have time to find articles like this and to continue to expand what we believe is important, and that is apologetics in the state of Missouri.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks, guys, for being along with us. I see a lot of activity from you guys, so thank you guys for chatting amongst yourselves and being a part of this podcast tonight. And I just hope that we get a lot more chances in the future, and we will. Things are going to get better and get more and more, and it's very exciting for me. But anyway, I just wanted to say thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. We love you. We're praying for you. And I guess that would be the end of the podcast, live cast today. So
yeah.
With the Tag Gear Podcast, I'm Ray.
I'm Dave.
And Soli.
Deo.
Gloria.